Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to another session of our program, Let Us Reflect. Generally speaking, people do not want others to know about their faults, and this is why if they ever commit a sinful deed, a wrong deed, a bad deed, they are conscious of the fact, or they're wary of the fact, that there may be people potentially watching them, and they try to take every precaution to ensure that they are not being watched in any way when they perform a sinful deed. Why? Because they're ashamed. They don't want to be seen doing an action which may lead to humiliation for them, embarrassment for them. And yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who sees everything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is not just aware of the action that is taking place, He knows about the intention of an individual. He knows about the matters, the secrets of the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is always watching us, if only a person remembered that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always watching him, he would not be so audacious in his sinful actions. It would stop him, because this thought that one is being watched, this in itself is something which can deter an individual from any sinful action, any wrongdoing. Today our topic is self-observation. You can even call it contemplation. The Arabic word that is often used is muraqabah. What is meant by muraqabah, I will share more with you after I relate a prophetic tradition which expresses the excellence of sending blessings in favor of the best in creation, al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, whosoever sent blessings upon me once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends or bestows 10 mercies upon him and writes 10 good deeds for him. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. When we hear the word muraqabah, if we have an understanding of the Arabic language or the Urdu language, usually we think about meditation. When we say someone is in a state where he's performing muraqabah, it's commonly understood by people of language that someone is in deep contemplation, thinking about matters of religion or pure self-purification. And in this state of reflection is usually in solitude, on his own, away from other people. And that is the essence of muraqabah. The truth is, like many other terms in our religion, the term muraqabah is encompassing. It actually covers different elements. So the self-observation element comes into it, or even the self-accountability element comes into it. The reflection or a deep contemplation element comes into it. The piety, that the taqwa element, or being aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this comes into muraqabah as well. So many different reflections of muraqabah, and inshallah we will share some of the sayings of the pious predecessors regarding this condition. But before we do that, I would like to mention some verses of the Quran which relate to the essence of deep contemplation or self-observation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, الَّذِي يَرَاكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who watches, who sees you when you stand. In light of this verse, or in the commentary of this verse, it is mentioned in Tafsir Ruhul Bayan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees the people, He watches the people when they stand up or when they attend to their affairs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always watching people. And when one remembers this, then it becomes easier to refrain from sinful actions and to perform righteous deeds or acts of worship. And an example which is given in the tafsir to make us understand is that just as a person increases his effort or does the most extraordinary things, yes, he's able to complete the most extraordinary tasks because of his love for the beloved. So when you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then even the most difficult tasks become easy for you, and especially without comparison to the love that people have or the love one may have for someone beloved in creation. The truth is that when one is in such a condition and the beloved is present, then every or any difficult action becomes a lot easier. His level of motivation is higher and he finds it easier to do the most difficult tasks. When a person remembers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching him, is always watching him, when he stands up to pray, when he performs any righteous deed with that thought in mind, this will actually not only encourage him, this will motivate him to perform that deed to the best of his ability. So this is something we should consider. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always watching us. In another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَخْفَ عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Indeed, nothing in the earth or in the sky is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is concealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, this reiterates the point that not only is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always watching us, nothing is concealed from Him. So if any evil comes into our hearts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of this too. And if we commit to that evil in any way or make a firm intention in any way, if we intend to perform an evil act, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of this too. Another expression of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. And He is with you wherever you are. Regarding this expression, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma has said that wherever you are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows you, meaning knows of your condition. Allah knows where you are. You can't hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the expression of the Quran means. Not in the physical sense. And remember, as a general rule, in verses of the Quran or in hadith traditions, wherever such an expression is used, that Allah is with you, this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware and has knowledge of your condition. Not only your apparent condition, but your internal condition. So this is what Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma reiterated. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said that an individual's best faith is this, that he is certain of the fact that wherever he is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with him. Again, this would be explained in light of what was mentioned previously, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always watching us and is aware of our actions and intentions. And the final verse that I would like to mention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Himself that He knows, as in light of what Imam Tabari explains, the deception of the eyes and the matters of the heart or what is concealed by the chest. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of these matters. When someone is looking with an eye that has evil intent or sinful intent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of that. Not just the fact that he is looking at something sinful or the eyes are acting in deception. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about the intention behind that looking. So whatever evil intention a person has when he is using his eyes in an appropriate way, in a way of sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it. So this is something which should deter us from ever using our eyes in any ways that are sinful. So the term muraqabah was mentioned, and it was explained how it can refer to self-observation, self-reflection, contemplation, and other things. One particular point mentioned about muraqabah is that one cannot attain a true level of muraqabah, a true level of contemplation or self-observation without five things. The first point that is mentioned is accountability of deeds. So there must be an element where a person is actually considering the nature of his actions. He's reflecting upon this specifically. The second point that is mentioned is one tries to correct himself as soon as possible. The third point is that he must remain steadfast upon the path of truth. Some people, they may start doing good things for a day or two and then they fall back into sin. To attain or maximize benefit and attain that level of contemplation or self-observation and to be successful in muraqabah, it is important also that one remains steadfast upon the path of truth. It's not a case of one day someone is striving in obedience and the next day he's in complete heedlessness. This should be something which is maintained. The fourth point is that a person protects the fact or guards his inclination to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning he doesn't let this weaken in any way. Obviously, if he is going to succeed in his contemplation or in his muraqabah, he has to have a strong connection with the Almighty. So guarding this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guarding his bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an important element to attain this level of muraqabah. And the fifth and final point that is mentioned is that he does not waste a single breath. People who are successful in self-observation or contemplation or muraqabah are people who do not waste time. And this is one of the reasons why they actually are engaged in some kind of reflection process. This is why they have some kind of meditation process. They think about the affairs of the akhirah, they think about the nature of their actions, and they're very focused individuals. They find it easy to segregate not just from people, but free their minds from the distractions of this world and from unnecessary thoughts and unnecessary concerns. They only focus on their bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they enter this state of deep contemplation. Sayyiduna Shah Waliullah Muhaddith Delwi alayhi rahma, he writes about muraqabah, he writes about this condition and how it is attained. And to summarize some of his points, he mentions this concept of using all the senses and his complete understanding and perception to think about the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or he thinks about the time when the soul is taken from the body, that particular moment, he's reflecting upon that, meaning he's using all his senses and his awareness to reflect upon this particular moment. Or he mentions that it could be any such important moment one reflects upon. So a total, complete reflection mode. This is what happens with a person where his thinking, his vision, even his sense of smell, all his senses are actually linked to this reflection state. This is what he is talking about in terms of muraqabah. So this is something which is very deep that he mentions, and it's something that not everyone can actually do, especially the case of forgetting everything else or becoming completely detached from everything else and just focusing on a state of reflection is something very difficult. Today we live in a time where people can't even live without their mobile phones. Yes, right up until the time of prayer, they're still getting that last text message in. They're still checking that WhatsApp status. They're still checking a social media post right before they pray. And even while they're praying, it wouldn't be wrong or it wouldn't be far-fetched to think that even while they're praying, they're probably thinking about what they just read or viewed just before the prayer. This is a level of distraction. So if we take what Shah Waliullah Muhaddis Delwi alayhi rahma mentioned about muraqabah and just apply the concept to being focused in acts of worship, like the prayer, we would attain a lot of benefit. It is mentioned in Tafsir Naimi regarding muraqabah that the reality of muraqabah, the reality of this contemplation or self-observation is this, that a person considers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be watching him. And he's thinking about his deeds. He lowers his neck in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the essence of muraqabah is mentioned, that being wary or guarding one's condition or overseeing one's condition all the time. This is the essence of muraqabah. So this is why we've used the word self-observation, always looking at yourself to see what condition you're in, always reflecting upon your personal condition. This is the essence of muraqabah. To summarize how Imam Ghazali alayhi rahmah mentions or describes muraqabah, he describes it as a condition of the heart which triggers certain processes of affecting the limbs and the heart in such a way where a person is always thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is watching us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who sees our deeds and intentions. So when within the heart this condition develops, that the heart and the limbs, they act in such a way that expresses a realization, and together they turn or return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the essence of muraqabah, as Imam Ghazali alayhi rahmah explains. It's very easy for a person to talk about the theoretical elements of something like muraqabah or try to just relate definitions or descriptions, but the people who live their lives in deep contemplation, who live their lives in reflection, who were known for their saintly status, people who had devoted their entire lives or much of their lives in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the honorable, noble creation, saintly figures, our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah, these people, when they spoke about or when they mentioned something about muraqabah, it was through or due to personal experience. And this is why I feel it's important that I share with you some of their sayings and some of their opinions regarding this topic. Sayyiduna Zunnun Misri alayhi rahmah, he mentions that a sign of muraqabah is this, that a person gives preference to those matters that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives preference to. And a person honors those elements which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers to be honorable or worthy of honor. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers to be trivial or unworthy, a person considers the very same matters to be trivial or unworthy. How is this expressed in behavior? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prefers piety for us, then this is what we should prefer if we want to have any sign of muraqabah in our conduct, in our behavior. We have to look at our preferences in life. Many things that are desired in this world, people should think about whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prefers them or not. And if we use this as a standard of what we should desire or what we should pursue in life, this will really put our goals, our aspirations in perspective in terms of the Islamic context. If we consider the fact that here Sayyiduna Zunnun Misri is saying that you consider honorable that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers to be honorable. So that which is honorable in the court of Allah, this is something which we should consider honorable. So are we people who are glorifying or expressing honor for people or things that are not considered to be honorable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Think about it. Who do you aspire to be like? Who do you love? Who would you consider yourself a fan of, if this is how you describe yourself? Are the people that you follow people who would be considered to be honorable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or are they people who have bad character traits, or even evil, sinful character traits? Who do you? Who is your role model? This is just one point to consider in this respect. And then whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has considered to be inferior, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has considered to be insignificant, we should also consider that to be insignificant if we want to have a sign of muraqabah in us. And one example which is all around us is this world itself. This dunya does not have any significance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we are people who are chasing the luxuries of this world while we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we neglect our obligations in the religion, there is no way that we will attain any level of contemplation or we will attain true success in any kind of reflection in terms of Islam. So it's very important to put things into perspective in light of what was said by the Shaykh. Sayyiduna Abu al-Abbas Baghdadi alayhi rahma, he once asked another Shaykh about muraqabah. He questioned him about muraqabah. The Shaykh answered by saying that whatever thought develops within the heart, a person thinks that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching this. And because of this, he protects his heart. This in itself, or this action in itself, this process in itself is muraqabah. So the thought coming into the heart, then this realization that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware and sees this thought that which has entered our heart. Protecting one's heart appropriately in this state, this is the essence of muraqabah. Sayyiduna Jurayri, he mentions that in our matter of tasawwuf, there are two elements. Number one makes it incumbent upon himself, necessary upon himself, that he is in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second point of the matter of tasawwuf is this, that the effect of this knowledge is manifested in one's actions. So what was the original point, or the first point that was mentioned? This making it necessary upon oneself that he is before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then this itself is actually shown in his behavior. So if someone is always thinking about the fact that he is in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do you really think that he will be that he will act in a sinful way, that he will disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with audacity? No. If someone truly accepts and wholeheartedly believes that he is in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this will be expressed by his actions, meaning he will not say things, do things which may be deemed to be disobedience or acts of sin. This is the essence of tasawwuf. Sayyiduna Ibn Ata, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, said, was questioned rather, what is the best worship? And he answered by saying, muraqabatul haqqi ala dawamil awqat. He answered by saying, always being in a state of deep contemplation regarding the truth. So this is his answer to what is the best act of worship. And this in essence is muraqabah. This is the kind of deep contemplation or reflection that we should aspire to attain or perform in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Committing sins with the eyes is something which is prevalent in communities. People sometimes admit the fact that they're unable to control their vision and they look at things that they shouldn't look at. One Sayyiduna Junaid Baghdadi alayhi rahma, he was questioned about this, that how can one attain help or attain aid in saving himself from the misuse of the eyes or looking at things which he shouldn't be looking at. And he answered by saying, by having this certainty that the one who sees or the one who is watching, before his sight reaches its the object, before he views what he intends to view, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees him and sees his action. Then he mentioned that whoever fears the loss of blessing, his muraqabah is strong. So his level of contemplation or his level of self-observation is strong. Why? Because he's afraid that if he does not use the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the right way, this can be described as being ungrateful. So when he thinks about these elements, when he thinks about losing blessings, his level of gratitude and his level of awareness and self-observation will naturally increase. So his muraqabah will be strong if he has a sense of fear of in terms of the loss of blessings. He fears the fact that the blessings that he has may be taken from him. But this is another element which can affect us to attain and to stay in the right frame of mind, that when we consider the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have, these blessings can be taken away from us. And when this thought becomes a certainty in our hearts and minds, it will stop us and deter us from sinful actions. Sayyiduna Sahal rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has said that no action adorns the heart, beautifies the heart more than this thought that wherever you are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. Wherever you are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you. And the final point that I would like to mention today is another saying of Sayyiduna Zunnun Misri alayhi rahma. He was asked, how can one attain paradise? And no doubt this is a question which many of us may ask from time to time. I think we like to specify or we like to have specific answers for questions like this. What can I do? Exactly what can I do to attain paradise? And in this particular answer, the Shaykh, he mentions five actions. Listen carefully and try to reflect upon these actions. The first point he mentioned was steadfastness in which there is no deviance. Number two, judgment in which there is no error or mistake. Number three, considering the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or being aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outwardly and inwardly, which is the essence of muraqabah. So that was the third point. The fourth point, to wait for death after preparation. So he is prepared for death and he is waiting for death. So not being unprepared for death. And number five, the final point which he mentioned, self-accountability. So accountability of oneself. This is something which is also related to muraqabah as well. So if you want to attain paradise, then you have to adopt steadfastness in which there is no deviance. You have to have judgment in which there is no mistake. You have to have this element of being aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outwardly and inwardly. You should be in a state where you have prepared for death and then you're waiting for it, and you should have a level of self-accountability. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we express our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We express our willingness to adhere to the laws of the Quran and Sunnah through our actions, through our conduct. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us to adopt true contemplation, deep reflection, to reflect upon the matters discussed today and more. May Allah accept our efforts. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect.